Welcome to East Meets West, episode 237. I'm Tom Merritt.
And I'm Roger Chang.
And we're 2 days after getting back from the Consumer Electronics Show 2011, and it's time for our annual exhale on East Meets West.
One, two.
You know, I am, honestly, I hit the point today where I was talking about CES stuff on frame rate with Brian Brushwood.
And you just wanted to stop.
That was fine. And as soon as I was done, I was like, I don't want to talk about my favorite gadget at CES again. I don't want to review, like, what the coolest things were, what were the highlights. I'm done rehashing all this stuff. But I actually had a really good time. I think I had the most fun I've had at CES.
Cannot say the same.
No? Cannot. What? Why not?
I was just working all the time. It wasn't really fun.
I was working all the time, too.
Perhaps it was the pain of my feet or the weariness of my back. But I didn't have
as long of a day as I usually have at CES. I was able to concentrate on my show. I didn't feel that constant grinding rush that I usually feel like, where I just don't have time to do anything and I'm distracted from moment to moment. I actually got out on the show floor. I was shooting, but I got out there. And I don't know, it felt like a more humane pace for me this time.
Yeah, not for me.
No, do you set your own pace, though, for CES?
Yes and no. I mean, there's a certain number of video pieces, video, you know, segments that I'm kind of slated to deliver for.
Well, you were doing something interesting. You were doing for your show Techzilla, you were doing 1.5 shows, it seemed like.
Yeah, they were essentially, well, that was so the deal was, we would put up a certain number. So like on the first night CES unveiled 4 or 5 things that we shot there and put it up, and that was part of the sponsorship deal. Like, you know the sponsors would buy into so many spots guaranteed for that day. So while I was doing that, I also had to shoot some stuff for the show I was shooting there, you know, the stuff that we would edit and which hopefully is released today, since we were so backlogged on resources and time that the show that normally released this early this morning actually just got released this afternoon. So it was a lot of work. I will not lie. It was an incredible amount of work.
I think people don't realize that even though you're in Vegas, you're not in Vegas. That was one thing that I got a couple of notes on Twitter and in the chat room about. It must be nice to get you and your wife sent there for, you know, to Vegas by your boss, all expenses paid. I'm like, wow, you're expressing an entirely fundamental misunderstanding of what's going on here. My wife does work for Twit, and so she was producing for Leo, but she was running the entire show. She was there from sunup to sundown, and I actually didn't talk to her a whole lot while we were there, because she would go back to the room. Essentially, when we were done for the day, I would go to the bar with Brian Brushwood, and she would go back to the room to sleep. Nap. And then we'd like maybe see each other for dinner, but it was in a huge group, and then we'd go back to the hotel room, and all we wanted to do was just pass out and like try to get sleep for the next day. We'd get up at 7 a.m. and go do it all again. I said earlier that it was a more humane pace, and
but it doesn't
that's
sound
the
like
sad
it.
Thing it was
I think there's you know, it's one of those things. You really can't appreciate a situation or the circumstances of a situation, the context of it, without actually being there or as close to being there as possible, because, you know, your perceptions are based on previous experiences and you know, information that they have on hand. And if one of those is not doing CES as a journalist, then you might have a slightly skewed understanding of what goes on, right? You're thinking lavish parties, you know, free booze, you know, all this time in Vegas at like very luxurious and very swank hotels. And some of that's true, some of that's not. Like, you know, the side events that we go to, Digital Experience and Showstoppers, which are not affiliated with CES, but are done at the same time, right on the coattails of CES, do have, you know, catered meals, and they're very delicious and open bars. But, and this is the big but, you're still working.
Right.
And it's kind of like saying to a construction worker, it's like, hey, you get to drive this, you know, big truck around, and it has all this horsepower. It's really cool. It's shiny. It's like, yeah, I got to drive it around to the work site and haul like crap back and forth. It's not like, you know, being at home and you know, having my own car or whatever. And it's interesting. I mean, there are many parallels to a lot of things. I mean, things in the news, people will make comments. I mean, even something as recent, say, as the shooting in Arizona, people are very glib. You know, you see a lot of accusations fly, and it's just like, hold on a minute. You know, the information has not been, you know, downloaded. You don't understand anything. Don't jump the gun. Don't put the cart before the horse.
Well, there's the impulse to make a joke. Right. And yeah. Maybe it's in poor taste in the shooting's case, but in CES's case, it's not. And the idea is like, hey, you're in Vegas, must be doing this, da 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 da. And so I get that. And it doesn't, I'm not insulted or anything. But
let me ask you this.
But the thing is, when you're making a joke, usually your joke should have some premise in reality. And it was, those jokes are so far removed from the reality. That's what I don't think people understand is broadcast media anyway. Maybe it's a little different for some print, but I think bloggers are pretty much in the same boat as I am. You aren't relaxing ever while you're there. You are constantly having to prepare and assimilate and discuss. And even when you're out with the free drink party, you're shooting something, you're researching, or is Showstopper's case where I wasn't working, Leo was doing the floor, I'm talking to other journalists about, okay, well, what did you see at CES? And what was your favorite thing? And did you catch this thing? And so you're not kicking it by the pool. You're not dancing in clubs, you know? And I don't know about you, but for me, even if I did get a little bit of time where I could have gone and done stuff, I was way too tired.
I don't know if you get this, but I get a weird sense of dislocation.
And yeah, I was talking to Leo about this. After like 3 days there, you feel like you live there.
Yeah.
Because it's all you do.
And it's so funny because, you know, as you get older, you know, time takes on a very different form. And you know, you
can go as you get older like Roger.
As things happen, like, you know, work can blow by, like a month can go feel like a week. But the reverse is true. If you're in a situation where you're constantly tasked and you're constantly, you know, exerted to your maximum potential, you know, it can feel like a prison sentence. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night because, you know, my throat was really dry. I wanted to get a swig of water. And I looked at the hotel room and was like, holy crap, I haven't left yet. I'm still here. And it's funny because we've done it so many times, and I've been at that hotel. I think that's the fourth or fifth time I've been at the hotel in the similar room that I've woken up and it's like, holy crap, this really feels way too familiar.
I can't remember who I was talking to, but it might have been Rob Blatt. It might not have been. I'm not sure. But they were saying, like, they sort of, in their mind, stitched together the last day of last year's CES and the first day of this year.
Oh, totally.
Year's.
Totally.
And so it was almost like I've lived my entire life at CES.
And it's kind of a weird parallel because, you know, you are living an existence, but you're living in a different location in a different way according to a different time frame or time schedule.
But you're doing very similar things, and I want to say really quickly, like, don't get us wrong, I really enjoy what we do, and I really had a great time at CES, but it's a different kind of great time than maybe some people think, because you're in Vegas, baby. Yeah. I enjoy, like, seeing all the new products and talking about them and just punching out a lot of content. That's really fun. But it's like a mimic world. You wake up in your hotel room and you get dressed for work. You know, you don't order room service, or if you do, you order it because you're doing work in your room, and then you go to work, you do your commute, and it's your short commute because you're usually just hopping in a taxi, or, you know, in my case, I was able to walk over to the convention center, and then you clock in, here we are at the stage, or, you know, the show floor, and then you do pretty much similar things to what you did the previous day, but they're all different than your previous life. And so it has this internal cohesion that makes you feel like you're in a cult. You're in the cult electronics society.
It's, you know, for me, I'm maybe because of my background or just because my experiences, yeah, I could be happy never to do another CES. For me, it's a constant. You know, it's a constant.
Because of your background?
No, because of my background at CES, like what I've done. Oh. It feels always like a shuttle run.
What number of CES was this for you?
So I started going in 2000. So, and I skipped maybe 2 years, so maybe 8 or 9.
This is my 9th. So yeah, I think we're about on the same pace.
And it's a constant shuttle run because, you know, I'm shooting something and going back to the edit room, or I'm checking in with, you know, with individuals to see how things are going. I wanted to hang out with my friends. I couldn't do it. They came all the way out from back east, and it's like there was no time. She asked me, it's like, oh, do you have any, you know, when are you free? It's like, I don't know. I probably won't be free until like 8:30 or 9. You know, after a while, it gets kind of exhausting. I mean, I know a couple of my coworkers, Patrick included, were feeling really ragged. There's so much.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
So much energy expended, and even in the evening, you don't get there's very little reprieve in the evening because, you know, you do the events in the morning. We get up early, do the events, go from one thing to another. We grab a couple of Nathan hot dogs for lunch and a bottle of water, and you know that's our lunch. And then we head. You know,
oh, you didn't get the press luncheons.
No,
box lunch in the press room this year.
Yes, well, there's a box lunch in the press room every year.
Oh, I thought it was usually over at Pietro's, but I guess
no. It's always been there. And
so I this was the first year I've experienced it because in the past I've been at the CNET stage and they actually had lunch brought over. So I was impressed at how nice the box lunch was. We would just send somebody to go pick them up like OMG Chad. Would go and grab the lunches for us.
Didn't have time. Just, you know,
you have to time it right. It's not like it takes a long time, but you have to be in the South Hall.
No, but I have to be in the South Hall.
And you have to be there at 11:30 because they run out of them really fast.
Can't afford it. I have to be somewhere else. Shoot. I'm feeding a content machine. So it's
well, the problem isn't that you're feeding a content machine. The problem is that you don't have a location. And you don't have a person at that location that you can task. We didn't have a ton of people at Twit, but we had a stage, and so there would always be one person at that stage that you could say, "Hey, can you run up and grab these? You're on the move. You're always somewhere, you know." And you don't have a bunch of spare people that you can send over to the South Hall.
All our people were you know tasked to the hilt. I mean, there's no slack. And, you know, for some people, it's you know, people, there's some people who relish it, who you know, find it a challenge. I find it incredibly annoying having it done it 8+ years. I remember I did it for CNET when I was at GameSpot, trotting across the parking lot from the Riviera, having the sky decide to piss on me with giant hail balls, you know, and it's just, I could so live life incredibly well and never see CES again.
And that's the funny thing is the first few years I went to CES, I was always excited.
Yeah,
because I was
the
like,
first
oh,
two
it's,
I was.
It's like camp. You know, it's like, oh, we get to go and live this other life for a short period of time. And it's a break and that's fun and that's cool. And we get to see all these gadgets and stuff. And then after a while, it just became a thing. Like, oh, yeah, I have to do CES again. And now it's become not a dread for me, but it's like, are you excited about CES? I'm like, no, not really. I'll probably enjoy it when I get there. But yeah, I did enjoy it, but I enjoy it in that camp-like way of experience something different, not enjoy it in the way that I'm in Vegas and I'm having fun, or even like, oh, you get to be surrounded by all these gadgets. It's like, you so rarely see anything that really knocks you out. When you do, it's really fun, and it's happened on more than one occasion, but it's not like that's the majority of your time.
No. And ultimately it is work. I've talked to people, I've talked to I've, I've worked with one individual who is a not PR, but they're booth person. They're there to interface with the public, and hired by the company. And she's done a bunch of these, and she does a variety of them. And when I've talked to her a long time ago about it, she says, it's a lot of work. I mean, ostensibly, she could be called the booth babe, even though she actually has useful information and she doesn't dress in skimpy outfits. But I mean, it's you're constantly you're talking to people, and your voice and your you're not your emotional, but you're just kind of your mental level kind of dips after a while because you're doing the same thing over. You're telling the 100th person about the same product.
I actually, when I was at Digital Experience and I did a interview with the guy from RIM about the BlackBerry Playbook, I watched him do two spiels in a row while I was waiting to talk to him. They were exactly the same, almost word for word. And so I came up, I was like, "Hey, we're streaming live. I want to talk to you, but I'm going to shake things up for you. I'm going to ask you different questions. And if I am asking you the same question, I'm going to ask them in a different order. Let's talk about QNX being under the hood here. Let's talk about some other stuff." And I mean, I'm not. It's not like I feel like I saved the guy's day, but you could tell there was a little bit of relief in his face of like, all right, at least this is different. I'm still on the treadmill, and I'm still spitting out of basically the same information, but at least it's not, going through my rote speech one more time.
I don't want to compare this to factory or assembly line work, but in the kind of a way it is.
It's mental factory
It's it
work.
is. And you're going boom, boom, same thing. Oh, what is it? It's a tablet PC.
And
What
that's
kind of
always the
phone?
way I felt at CNET, because at CNET I would always be doing first looks on the stage. So I would talk to a PR person, write down notes, memorize the notes, go up on stage, talk about the product, go down, thank them, hand them back the product, go to the next person, repeat. And it was definitely factory-like, just like crank them out, chung 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 chung.
So, I mean, I'll be honest, I was kind of glad to be home
Oh yeah, I
because,
was totally glad to be
and
home.
when you get home, there's also this like, there's also you there's another sense of dislocation because now there's this chunk of week that you haven't been home, and it feels like, time, you're missing time.
That first night I was home, I woke up, I think in the morning. I don't think it was the middle of the night. I think it was in the morning. And it was expecting to see the hotel room when I opened my eyes. It's just, and it's not that unusual, but I definitely had that. But I was glad to be home. But I also, to get back to the positive side of things, I felt like I did some of my best shows that I've ever done at Twit while I was at CES this year. I had great co-hosts to work with. There was no shortage of news, for good or ill. There was lots to talk about, and I really felt like I had the time to prepare and understand it, and do some analysis. So I was really happy.
I can say the first time I go for any company, it's a little bit exciting because I feel it's like with a different group of people, different mentality,
Well, you're
different
trying to say
expectations.
that I'm just in, I just enjoyed my show. My shows were not that good. I just felt that way
No,
because I was with a
I
new
think they
company.
were. I think they were. I think they were just as good as you needed them to be. What I'm saying is that I wonder if some of that might be colored. Is this your first CES with Twit, right?
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if you did this like
You
three
couldn't
or
have possibly enjoyed yourself, Tom. It must be because it's your first CES with Twit.
No, I'm saying I think you actually did enjoy yourself, and what I'm saying is part of that is because it's with a different group of people. It's
Yeah,
a
but
different
you've done that. Was your first CES with Revision 3 more enjoyable?
than the one I did it after, the second one with DLT. Yeah, it was. That's what I'm trying to
But
get
is
at.
it just because it was new?
I'm thinking it might be because there are different expectations and different.
What about your first CES with DLTV? Was that more enjoyable?
Yes, it was.
So actually, and your first CES with GameSpot, that was more enjoyable than TechTV?
No, that was the only one that does. I think that's the exception.
So there can be an exception. Okay, good.
I think that's the exception that proves the rule, though. Because the first CES I went with TechTV ZDT was fine. I was like, hey, this is awesome.
Yeah, but that was also one of your first CESs, right? I mean, same here. I had a great time with TechTV because that was, you know, I was still new to the whole thing. I was still getting the rush out of trade show coverage. And it's not just CES, it's also like I've covered trade shows. Blog World, Podcast Expo, CTIA, Dragon Con, Comic Con. You know, I've done this basically same thing a lot. CES is the largest by far that I've ever covered. But you know, the basic idea is the same. You've got a big show floor and you go out and you find your stories and you shoot your shows and you do your interviews, and you know, there's variations on a theme, but that's basically it.
Yeah, it depends. I mean, you know,
I think maybe you're right. There's a little bit of spark for me this year because it's new. But there could also be the opposite because I had fewer resources. I had a smaller stage. And I really think the reason that I felt more positive about CES this year is that I had more time to devote to preparation of my stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's one reason why I would avoid ever trying to work for something like a Comic-Con or something where it's, for me, it's enjoyable. And if I had to work it, I think it would soil.
What about Nerdtacular?
I have never been, so.
You should come.
Okay.
They're going to have panels this year.
Cool.
With podcasts and everything.
With doors and lights and audience.
What's behind door number 3? Yeah, there's going to be lights and audience.
Yeah, so now we're back. And it's funny because one of the things that I've noticed about when I'm away on work is I totally feel cut off from everything. I feel cut off from what's going on with my friends, what's going on in the world, like news and just even, you know, banal stuff in the office.
Well, that's what I mean about that cult-like feeling. You are immersed in CES, and everything you do is related to it. Every conversation you have is related to it. And you don't experience anything else outside of CES for that entire week, or almost week, that you're gone. It's totally true. And you feel... I don't know. I'm trying to put my finger on it, but it's this idea that you don't have anything else in the world but the bubble.
Yes.
And when you come out of it, it's like you come out of a time warp.
It's kind of like what's the biodome or whatever the hell that thing
is.
Yeah,
right. Without
Pauly Shore.
The entirely self-contained atmosphere. And you feel like you live there, and you feel like you've always done that. And it's this kind of fake life. It's so odd.
But is your life really real, Tom? Is it?
When you're at CES, you live at CES. And that's all the reality there is. And maybe that shows that your life isn't real. Maybe the life you come home to is just another CES. And you don't
maybe,
even realize
maybe the
it.
Life you come home to is the tentative one. The actual life
yeah.
you leave is the CES.
Maybe. It's a scary thought. But it's possible.
We only have 2 comments on the last
podcast. On our traditions episode. Well, Cool B says, my family doesn't so much do the arguing, but we do tease each other a lot. In our family, if you're not being teased and made fun of, you have to wonder what you did wrong.
Aww. Sick. And Nick wrote, Tom, do you prefer the pilot or the final version of A Study in Pink for Sherlock?
You know, I watched both of them over the break. I watched the pilot finally, and then I rewatched A Study in Pink with Eileen when she was watching Sherlock. And I think I preferred the pilot, not by much. Not to say there was anything wrong with the actual first episode, but the pilot seemed snappier. I seemed to understand the relationship with Watson a little faster. Sherlock felt a little less annoying, and so it's a little more believable that he gets accepted by the police and accepted by Watson. I don't know. Maybe it was just because it was a little tighter, but I think I did like the pilot better.
What are you looking forward to for the rest of the 2011? See, it's so funny because CES came so quickly on the heels after the holidays that it doesn't feel like my year has started.
Right. You now get to start your year. All those things that you were about to begin, all those resolutions, got put on pause for a week.
Yep.
And now you're back. Well, I've already written a top five for Revision 3, top five CES products most likely to be vaporware, so I'll be keeping an eye out on those to see if they ever come out, and then I'm proved wrong.
I'm looking forward to cutting my landline. There's a lot of things, it's just like little bitty stuff in my life that I've been like, I want to get, you know, I want to clean up my room and shove all my extraneous boxes. And
it's about time you clean your room.
Move it to the other room since my former roommate moved out, and you know, do a lot of housekeeping and bookkeeping and burning of receipts from 5 years ago.
Got to do the taxes.
Oh, I have jury duty next month.
Oh, very nice.
Remember, I pushed it off 6 months.
Yeah.
So it's coming back.
I've got a speaking engagement in early March, then South by Southwest.
I never been, and I, you know.
Then
I,
NAB, National Association of Broadcasters, in April, and then it'll be close after that, my year anniversary at TWIT.
Wow, fancy!
So I got a first half. First half's looking busy.
Yeah, I don't have anything planned beyond February besides the standard taxes, oil change. I don't like the San Diego Comic Con and all the other.
Well, that's in July, right?
Yep.
Yep.
WonderCon in it's not in April anymore. Is it in April? Might be in April. I don't know. They change it all the time. But I don't know. I kind of want to mix it up this year. I'm kind of tired of sleepwalking through the year.
Yeah, mix it up. Do some changes. Dye your hair.
Ooh, I'm going to wear different colored socks every day.
No, that's crazy talk.
It's crazy. I know.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for putting up with an audio-only episode without a chat room this week. We should be back to streaming live on Twit this Sunday at 5 o'clock Pacific time, 8 p.m. Eastern.
Thank you very much for listening, and we'll catch you next weekend.
Bye.
Is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.